Well, we're still here, so let's talk about it. Last time, we talked about the advance directive and the special provisions section, which allows somebody to put their wishes. These wishes that we include are items that maybe not everybody understands. So as we're thinking about our advance directive and what we want to have included, it's important to talk with your doctor and your family and do your research about what these special provisions items are and how you can include them in your advance directive. Sometimes a doula can be present with you at your attorney's visit, or they can work with you one-on-one at your home, and then we can write things down so that they can be imported into your advance directive. Another option is to fill out the five wishes form, which is what I talked about last time, and I'm going to go over briefly with you today. All right, so the five wishes was put together through a sponsorship with Virginia Mason Hospital and Compass Care. The other foundation that provides it to people for no charge is the Memorial Foundation. As a hospice volunteer, or if you even have occasion to visit a hospice house, they may have it available for you. When I go to check in at their administrative offices, they have a stack of them there, and you can grab one or I can grab one. I did purchase a stack of them, I think 25, so that I can give them to my clients. All right, so I'm going to be rustling some paper as we go through this. It's rather lengthy. I'm not going to talk about all of the items in here, but I do want to kind of explain what it is. So looking at the front cover, it says five wishes. My wish for the person I want to make care decisions for me when I can't, the kind of medical treatment I want or don't want, how comfortable I want to be, how I want people to treat me, and what I want my loved ones to know. So it says, what is five wishes? Well, it's a living will, which is the advance directive also when we put in our desires for the ventilation or the hydration and nutrition. This living will talks about your personal, emotional, and spiritual needs as well as the medical wishes. That's what makes it different than an advance directive. It also includes your healthcare power of attorney or your healthcare agent. It lets you say exactly how you wish to be treated if you should become seriously ill. It was written with the help of the American Bar Association's Commission on Law and Aging and the nation's leading experts in end-of-life care. It's easy to use, according to their page here of information. And all you have to do is check a box or circle a direction, write a few sentences, and you're finished. This can help your family so that if you're unable to communicate, you've written things down. So we're going to cover them. Just like the advance directive, you need to be over the age of 18 to have this legal document in your possession, not in your possession, but you need to be of legal age to be able to use it and have your family use it for you. Otherwise, if you're a minor, your parents will be making those choices for you. 42 states consider this a legal document under their laws. They include the pages that are required for the healthcare agent or healthcare proxy or durable power of attorney for healthcare. They give you 3 slots so that you can choose person number 1, number 2, and number 3. You can also, at least I have advised people, they can write an addendum if they need to have more people. For example, if you've got 5 kids in the family or 5 people that you really need to have included, you can do that. But hopefully the first person that you choose is the one who'll be able to carry out your wishes. So here's some of the things that it talks about that maybe you don't want, and your healthcare agent can cross them out, or you can cross them out and they'll make sure to support that. So the healthcare agent can make the decisions, and I want the agent to be able to do the following: make choices for me about my medical care or services like tests, medicine, or surgery. They can interpret any instructions I have given in this form or given to them in other discussions according to that healthcare agent's understanding of your wishes and your values. They can consent to admission to an assisted living facility, a hospital, a hospice, or a nursing home. They can hire any kind of healthcare worker they may need to help or take care of you. The agent may also fire a healthcare worker if needed. They can make the decision to request, take away, or not give medical treatments, including artificially provided food and water, and or any other treatments to keep me alive. They can see and approve release of my medical records and personal files. They can sign on my behalf if I'm unable to sign myself. They can move me to another state to get the care I need or carry out my wishes. When I hear that, or when I read that, I think of the medical aid in dying, or the VSED, or the assistance with dying. They used to call it assisted suicide, and it kind of still is, but medical aid in dying, or the Hemlock Society, also does their method of assisted dying. They can authorize or refuse to authorize any medication or procedure needed to help with pain. They can take any legal action needed to carry out your wishes. They can donate usable organs or tissues as allowed by law. They can apply for Medicare, Medicaid, or other programs or insurance benefits. The healthcare agent can see your personal files, like your bank records, to find out what is needed to fill out the forms. And then any changes, additions, or limitations on the healthcare agent's powers can be written in the several lines below. So to repeat, you can cross out any of these that you don't want your healthcare agent being responsible for. What I like about this, which is slightly different than an actual healthcare directive or advance directive, is that you can apply for Medicare or Medicaid or other programs of insurance should you become unable to do so yourself. So this is almost something that would be more for anyone who's over the age of 18, and I'm thinking of someone who might be elderly who hasn't had a diagnosis yet, but going back to that found in the street scenario, if you're 18 and you filled this out, or you're 35 or 45 or 55, 65, 75, and you filled this out and you had no medical diagnoses, but you were involved in a car accident or something that people found you in the street and called 911, this can be in your medical file ahead of time to know that if you didn't already have certain insurance coverages, that your healthcare agent would be able to do that for you. And then, just as with the advance directive, if you change your mind, you destroy the old one and make a new one. Then, of course, it talks about the wishes for the medical treatment that you don't want. It talks about, in case of an emergency, that you want to be a do not resuscitate or a please resuscitate patient. Then there's a section where it says if you're close to death and if two healthcare professionals, one including your doctor, decide that you're ready to die within a short period of time, you want life support or you don't want life support. If you are found to have permanent and severe brain damage and you're not expected to recover, again, you can choose to have or not have life support treatment. Same as if you're in a coma or some other condition under which you do not want to be kept alive. And in this case, they're talking about an end-stage condition. End-stage kidney disease or heart failure, something along those lines would be included. The next section talks about how comfortable you want to be. If you don't want to be in pain, then you want your doctor to give you enough medicine to relieve it, even if it means that you'll be really drowsy or sleep more than you would otherwise. If you're showing signs of depression or nausea or shortness of breath, hallucinations, you want your caregivers to give whatever medicines will be helpful. You can wish to have a moist, cool cloth put on your head if you have a fever. If you want your lips to be kept moist and stop dryness, you can ask for that. Maybe a lip balm or something like that. You wish to have warm baths often, and you wish to be kept clean and fresh at all times. You wish to be massaged with warm oils as often as you can. You wish to have your favorite music played whenever possible until you die. You wish to have personal care like shaving and grooming as long as it doesn't cause pain or discomfort. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday. The host is a grief coach. She was talking about some illnesses and aging thin the skin and can tear the skin if you're not gentle enough. So you have to be careful about this pain or discomfort piece. Hair brushing can really irritate the scalp if the hair is brittle or the skin is thin. Brushing your teeth may be uncomfortable because maybe your teeth or your gums are very sensitive because they haven't been brushed regularly for a while. If you want to have religious readings or some Bible passages read to you, you can ask for that. Maybe you have some poems that you want to have read aloud. If you want to know about hospice care, your loved ones can give that to you, or they can find someone who can describe it for you. Wish number 4 is how you want people to treat you. If you want people around you always, or if you'd rather not have a lot of people, you can make those choices. If you want to be hugged, or your skin stroked, or your hand held, or kisses on your cheek, or none of that at all, that's okay. You can choose what you like. If you want to have people praying with you or over you, you can ask for that. If you want to be treated with kindness and cheerfulness as opposed to sadness, you can ask for that too. An example is if you have someone that you really love and you and that person joked around a lot and you want that person to joke with you, even if you can't communicate back to that person, if that was what you think will make you happy or comfortable, ask for it. Why not? And then some other options are you want to have pictures nearby, you want to be kept clean, and if you want to die at home, you obviously can state that as well. Wish number 5 is things that you want your loved ones to know. I wish to have my family and friends know I love them. I want them to respect my wishes even if they don't agree. I wish that my family and friends will look at my dying as a time of personal growth for everyone, including me, to help me live a meaningful life in my final days. After my death, I'd like my body to be buried or cremated. Any cremains or remains should be put in this location that you designate. And this person, blank, knows your funeral wishes. If anyone asks how you want to be remembered, they give you lines on how you can describe that. If there's to be a memorial service, you can ask for certain songs or readings or sayings that you'd like to have included. And then anything else, like a free form set of lines that you can put in anything that you can think of in terms of what you would want your loved ones to know. And then after the 5 wishes have been expressed and checked off or crossed off or written in, the last page has the signing of the form, the witness statement, or in the case that witnesses are not available, or you live in Missouri, North Carolina, South Carolina, or West Virginia, you need to have a notary. There's a space for that. Then there are instructions that talk about what to do after you fill out the 5 wishes form. You talk about it with your healthcare agent, your family members. You make sure and give it to your doctor. You keep a copy of it in your home in a special place that you will not forget. In other words, don't put it in your safe deposit box, because that's not where people are going to go if they find you on the street, in the hospital, or you have a disease that has come on maybe all of a sudden, like a heart attack or a major stroke. The 5 wishes can be put into your medical record, and it's portable, which means that it can go with you to the hospital if the doctor's office or the nursing home has your files handy. What I really like about the 5 wishes is that there is a little wallet card form at the very bottom of the page. You fill it out and it fits literally in your wallet. It's just slightly larger than a business card size. It has this listing that shows that you have the 5 wishes advance directive, who your healthcare agent is, and who your primary care physician is, and where this document is located. So to the location piece, I will say that usually, in the case of an advance directive and 5 wishes would be included, it's recommended that you keep it on your refrigerator. If you are found at home by emergency personnel, they are instructed and trained to look on the refrigerator for the presence of this document so that they'll know whether they need to treat you. I will tell you that a former EMT told me, oftentimes the advance directive is present on the refrigerator, and if the patient has instructed that they don't want CPR and the family is standing around asking you to do it or asking them to perform CPR, sometimes they feel compelled to do that just for the family. This is a situation that we really can't control, unfortunately, unless it was your healthcare agent who's in the home and has agreed to act on your behalf. Then they should be able to say, no, it's fine, she really doesn't want that. If you keep this paper on your refrigerator, you'll know where it is because you're going to tell your family, they'll know where it is. And if the EMTs come in, they'll know where to look for it. So there's the 5 wishes, just another way of completing an advance directive with a little bit more subjective quality to it. But as I said before, with the advance directive in that special provisions section, You can also subjectively add some items that maybe you learned about the five wishes. When I work with clients, I give them the option for each form. We go through it and they can choose which one they want to do. What's really neat is April 16th is Healthcare Decision Day. It has become a national event for people to be able to make the healthcare decisions that need to be made, such as the advance directive and the healthcare agent. To have celebrations around that day is really important to get the word out so that people have these forms in place and their family members know where they are. The healthcare agents have been selected, and it just adds that extra peace of mind. That peace of mind is for you and for those that you love. And hopefully, you can talk to the ones that you love and make sure they have theirs filled out as well. Even if you're not their healthcare proxy or healthcare agent, at least you can have the conversation to encourage them to complete theirs. I hope that this was helpful for you today. We'll keep talking about this because it's really important. I'll be giving some presentations here in the next month for people to get their advance directives done. Even if they don't sit with me and do it, I just want them to be aware and have the forms so that they can fill it out with their friends, their family, or their attorney to make sure they have it and to make sure that the people who need to know where it's located. That is as important as filling out the document. That's it for today, folks. Bye-bye.
I'm sure glad you were with me today. Talking about death and dying is hard enough. As we go forward, talking about death and dying and all the topics about end of life, conversations, the people that we love, people we want to know better, let's just keep learning together. And if there's something that you want to learn more about, you can drop me an email. My address is Kathy@whilewerestillhere.com. The website is whilewerestillhere.com, and the podcast is, you guessed it, While We're Still Here. So, lots of ways to reach out, lots of ways to dig in and learn about talking to those people that we love while they're still here to have a conversation. Think about that. And until next time, folks, take care.